Assalamu alaikum. This is the second part of the reading, the 16th reading on the secret of the love of God, moving into the chapter called Love's Levels, Maratab al-Hub, on page 119. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm Al-Din Iyak Nabudu Wa Iyak Nasta'in Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim Sirat Al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim Ghayri Al-Maghdubi Alayhim Wa Allah Love's Levels. Know that love also has three levels: divine, spiritual, and natural. And there are no other types of love. Divine love is the love of Allah for us, and our love for Allah may also be called divine or godly love. Spiritual love is the love through which the lover seeks to please the beloved, and he has no other purpose or will, but he is ruled by what is desired of him. In natural love, the lover seeks to achieve all of his desires from his beloved, whether what he is seeking is pleasing to the beloved or not. Many people today love this type of love. Know that the level of love in relation to us is in reality in relation to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This love is divided into spiritual and natural, and our love for Allah is expressed by these two types of love. This is difficult to imagine because not every soul has been provided with the knowledge that enables it to know things as they are in reality. Instead, the soul is informed by things from Allah as he informs us about himself in the revelations of the holy books. The first level of love is natural love, hib Tabi, hib tabi. Natural love is of two types: natural, related to the innate nature, and elementary or physical. Natural love is the general love. For all lovers accept natural pictures in accordance with what realities are given to them. In their love, they experience passion, longing, yearning, and the love of meeting, seeing, and connecting with the beloved through the natural pictures of the creation. There are many ahadith about this, and we must believe in them. For example, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, "Whoever loves the meeting with Allah, Allah too loves the meeting with him. Even though the lover is always in his eyes, and it does not befit him that his eyes waver from the lover, yet he has described himself as also longing to meet his worshippers." I have mentioned before that the cause of love is the epiphany, the tajalli, of the real in the presence of proportionate images in the world of similitude, alam at tamthil, and that this epiphany is witnessed in various pictures by the lover. I have also mentioned the epiphanies of the spirits within the pictures that embody the meanings. The appearance of these pictures is followed by what necessarily belongs to them as natural pictures. For example, seeing and talking and all the qualities that follow the picture. All of this is in accordance with the beauty and all the other qualities of the one who is revealed in it. These pictures are bound by time and so are subject to appearance and disappearance. Know that natural love in itself is because the lover has pleasure and ecstasy in the beloved. And so he loves the beloved for himself, not because of the beloved. And this is a reality which also arises in divine and spiritual love. Natural love is connected to receiving good because the specific nature of the self, Atab, does not know how to love except for one's self. So the lover wants to approach and connect with the giver of good for oneself, not for the giver. This instinct is in every animal, including the human being. An animal will love a human because his survival depends on that human, not because of anything else connected to that particular human. However, the animal does not really understand the meaning of survival, but he finds a natural instinct within him to connect with a specific being, and this becomes the animal's beloved. This kind of love does not happen except for a specific being, and so the animal loves that being, but as a related being and not by an original existence in itself. And this is because the animal's connection is a sensual connection and its approach is purely sensual. However, the ultimate purpose of natural love is for the lovers to become one body, to become one heart, to become one soul and one spirit. So in finding a mate, the essence of the lover's beloved appears to him within a particular being. And so the lover's ultimate goal is to have that beloved in existence, because the beloved is the lover's goal and pursuit. Thus the lover seeks and longs for the particular vessel in which the essence of his beloved has appeared to him. The essence appears in both of them, not only in one of them, because it is proportional between both of them. And this is also true in embracing and kissing and playfulness. They are all expressions of longing for the beloved. There's no difference between saying that it is the physical nature of the beloved's vessel or that it is its reality that is attracting the lover. They're all acceptable and permissible expressions of love. Human love is more perfect and complete in comparison with all other creatures. This is because it unifies the realities of the world with the divine image. Humans have the highest proportion of sacredness in ontological existence. Natural love manifested from Allah, from His word, be. So it has a relationship with the spirits by its spirit, and with the natural realm and elements in relation to its innate natural disposition of physical form. Allah's self, Adat, loves all the elements and all the natural things. There are no worlds except the physical and the spiritual. And the physical world has elementary bodies and also bodies which are not made with the elements. Each elementary body is natural, but not all natural bodies are elementary. And this is a distinction between the imaginal bodies of the spheres and the angels and corporeal bodies. To summarize, love is connecting with a being from among many or few, and it manifests in the love of meeting, playfulness, etc., in accordance with the reality of that within which it exists, because it is the very essence of the beloved. The beloved is one in essence and self of thought, but varies in the eyes of the lovers according to their states and relationship with reality. Because love in its essence is the love for connection with the perfect one. The other type of love is elementary or physical love. This is still under the category of the first level, natural love. There is a difference between the two types. Natural love is not limited by one natural picture, but it is with each picture in the same way as it is with another picture. On the other hand, elementary love is limited by one natural picture. Natural love is the love of ordinary people. Its ultimate goal is to unite in the animal spirit, where the spirit of each of the lovers becomes available for the other by way of exciting desire and ecstatic pleasure, and so its active end is in mating. Love's ecstasy flows into the whole state of the mind, just as water flows into a piece of wool. Know that love may be natural, but the beloved may not be from the natural world. Know that it is not called natural love unless the lovers belong to the natural world. This is because the cause of natural love is a glance or the hearing of a voice that stimulates something in the imagination of the seer or the listener. That is, if the beloved can be seen or heard. Also, a characteristic of natural love is that the imagined picture in the lover's imagination is in accordance with the beloved's perfect picture, with nothing missing to be accepted later. If this were not the case, then it would not be natural love. In this way, the picture that results from natural love is different from all other pictures, and the universe is compatible to the divine names without any decrease or increase, because the universe is the result of love. The soul, on the other hand, does not desire a body if it feels pain with separation from it. Thus, he related the decrees, the mukadarat, and the states, ahwal, because of the existence of proportion, physical and spiritual, in their origin. Proportions are original in the existence of the proportioned. He created you, then proportioned you, then balanced you. In whatever form he willed, he mounted you. Quran 82:6-8. Even though spirits are different from physical shadows and meanings, are different from words and letters, a word can point to a meaning so that if the meaning is embodied, it will not increase more the capacity of the word. This is the same relationship between the soul and the body, and this is called love. The second level of love, spiritual love, hib ruhani, know that the ultimate goal of spiritual love is resembling the beloved, along with giving the beloved his rights and appreciating his value. In contrast to natural love, which is subjected to boundary, amount, and shape, spiritual love is outside these limitations. This is because spiritual powers have proportional focus due to the strength of the spirit. When the proportional focus overwhelms the lover and the beloved because of a glance, a sound, or knowledge, spiritual love occurs between the two. But if the proportional focus is of less than considerable intensity, then it is not love. The meaning of the proportion in this case is that the spirits that are ready to give are fully directed toward the spirits that are ready to receive and hold. This is why the spirits who are ready to give feel pain when not accepted, and the other spirits who are ready to receive feel pain when the giving is withheld. Nevertheless, unfulfilled love does not perish. But it is the conditions of time and readiness that are not complete in order for it to fulfill its purpose. The spirit that was expecting to receive calls this physical separation deprivation of love. But this is not true because the two spirits are diffusing their energies in loving each other. If this love is firmly established between two lovers, then there should be no doubt that there is fulfilling love and there is no separation between them, even though they may be physically separate. And this is because this love is outside the realm of physical bodies where separation can take place or where close proximity has an influence, as it is in the case of natural love. This means that in spiritual love there is no limitation and no distinguishing between proximity and separation. No one imagines separation except for one lacking intuitive awareness, who gives a picture to that which has no picture, as in love. Spiritual love is the love of the Gnostics, who are distinguished by this kind of love from ordinary people. The ordinary lover thinks of his beloved in a similar way to how he thinks about himself, with poverty in his states and proportion in his relationship. But the Gnostic lover knows the value of the beloved by that which is actually loved in the beloved. Spiritual love is the love within the lover that is unifying, because he loves his beloved for his beloved and for himself, whereas the natural lover loves the beloved only for himself. Know that if a lover has the qualities of sound intellect and gnosis, and he is wise, he will then manage the relationship in accordance with wisdom and will not evaluate the relationship beyond its worth. If he loves, he reflects about what is loved, what is the meaning of love, what is the reality of the beloved, and about what he wants of the beloved. Does his beloved have a will and a choice, so that he may love what his beloved likes? Or does the beloved have no will, so that he may not love, but for himself, or more accurately, for the being that willed him to see his essence in that specific beloved? From this perspective, I say that the presence is the beloved, and he is within the beloved, and not the beloved self. So if that presence has a will, then the lover can love him for the beloved self and not for himself. But if the beloved has no will, then the lover should love the beloved for himself, because his beloved in this case has no love for a particular purpose or quality sought in him. But on the other hand, if the beloved has a will, then the lover should love what exists within the beloved, and so he loves the beloved because the beloved follows the love he feels. This is because the lover is seeking connection with the perfect absolute, after asking for the existence of a beloved as a medium to reach the real. So this lover knows that the existence of his beloved in his life is the very essence of the connection he is seeking, and therefore is necessary. The last level of love, divine love. Divine love is the love of Allah for his worshipful slave and the love of the worshipful slave for his Lord. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses it, he loves them and they love him. Its ultimate expression occurs in its two extremities, pre-existence and the final abode, where the worshipful slave witnesses himself as a manifestation of the real. It is for this and for it is for this that he is the manifest truth. The spirit is hidden within the body and is unseen and cannot be comprehended and cannot be witnessed except by a lover. When the truth becomes the outer manifestation of the worshipful slave in conformity with the inner spirit, and he is described by him as abiding by his laws, his boundaries, purposes, and decrees, the worshipful slave becomes a witness, and at that time he becomes more beloved to the real. Allah's love is that he loves us for himself and for us, as in his saying, I loved Ahbabtu to be known. So I created the creatures and made myself known to them, so they knew me. He has created us only for himself, in order that we may know him. His saying, and I did not create the jinn and the humans except to worship me. Quran 51-56 also shows that he has created us only for himself. As for his love for us, for ourselves, he shows us what actions lead us to happiness and salvation. And he shows us how to discern from our affairs what does not harmonize with our aspirations and what does not conform to our natures. Regarding our love for Allah, which is also called godly love, it is to love him with two types of love, the natural and the spiritual. This love is characterized by immersion in proportionate visualization, as in witnessing the real in the spiritual proportionate pictures of the epiphanies within the imaginative faculty, and witnessing him in the proportionate materialistic created forms. But not every soul is provided with knowledge of the affairs as they are in reality, and not every soul has faith in the way in accordance with what Allah brought to us in the holy books informing us about himself. There are four divisions of our love for him: to love him for himself, to love him for ourselves, to love him for himself and for ourselves at the same time, and four, to love him as he himself wants to be loved by himself, for himself. Some of us love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for himself, And some of us love him for ourselves. And some of us love him in every manifestation in which he reveals himself in all the worlds. And this is more perfect than complete love, gnosis, and witnessing. This is because witnessing the self, Adat, occurs only through the proportionate pictures. And he created you and then proportioned you and then balanced you in whatever form he willed, he mounted you. Quran 82, 6 through 8. So the lover possesses a proportioned and balanced picture, and he hears the call for love through the physical world. And so he loves him through the information he reveals of himself. This is expressed in his saying on the tongue of his prophet, sallallahu alayhi salam, did you take for a protector my loyal friend, Wali? Or did you have enmity for an enemy for my sake? Because if you love things for him, this is the meaning of love for him, for himself. This means to establish from ourselves what he loves and to do it happily. To understand what I'm saying now, you need to witness him in my picture. Our limbs are like instruments that can act in ways pleasing to Allah. But if the person only looks to his nafs, then he will not be able to act in accordance with what is pleasing to Allah. Indeed, to Allah belongs everything in existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is not anything that does not exalt him by his praise. Quran 17:44. This means thanking and glorifying him without waiting for a reward, because in worshipping the divine self, Adat, there is no reward. And this is how our love for him should be. But when some souls were given the intellectual faculty, at first they did not pay attention to Gnosis. Instead, they fell in love with the causes and not with the creator of the causes. Then through the intellect they were guided to the one who brought forth the causes. And their love shifted from loving the causes to loving the one who brought the causes into existence. This soul says, he is worthy of my love. But I do not know what pleases him, so that I may deal with him accordingly. Her love for him is because of his gifts for her and because he bestows existence on her and provides suitable provision. But the soul stopped unconscious and forgetful of his lordship, Rububiyyah, in the realm of eternity. Then an outsider called and came to her declaring to be a messenger from the one who brought her into existence. But the soul said to the messenger, you're just like me, and I'm afraid that you are not truthful. So can you prove to me your truthfulness, for I do have the intellectual faculty by which I have reached knowledge of the one who brought me into existence. Then the messenger established evidence of the truthfulness of his soul call. The soul thought about it, and when it was proven true by her intellect, she believed in the messenger who showed her that the being who brought her into existence seized her and made her witness his lordship within herself, and that she had given testimony affirming his lordship. She said, I have no information about this, but from now on I feel that it is an obligation for me to affirm that you are truthful with the news you are bringing. However, I have no idea what actions of mine please him. But if you will set boundaries for me and draw lines for me which I should not cross, you will find that I am grateful for his gifts. So the messenger prescribed laws for her, and by establishing them, she showed her gratitude, even though the boundaries may have been in opposition to her desires. The soul does not obey out of fear or out of greed for a later reward, but follows the laws which the messenger made known to her in order to please Allah. The messenger also mentioned the punishment for the opposers, and so this pure, pleased soul hurries to follow. She says, there is no deity other than him, Allahu la ilaha illahu, as she has been told to say. Later, the messenger made her recognize the great reward for those who follow and the punishment for those who oppose his law. He added love and contentment to her worship, and this soul united two aspects in her worship of him, worshiping him for himself and worshiping him out of reverence and desire. And so she loved him for himself and for herself. This is due to her original nature and her spirituality. Reverence and desire are attached to her original nature, and worshiping him out of love for him is attached to her spirituality. If she loves anything of the existing creatures, she loves them spiritually to attain their ultimate purpose. When the real saw her in this state, and he knew that her reality was divided, natural and spiritual, and that she united the two types of love, and since he describes himself with jealousy, he did not like her association and wanted to have her completely for himself alone, so that she would love only him. So he revealed himself to her in a natural, proportionate image and gave her a sign that she could not deny within herself, which is expressed as essential gnosis. So she knew that he was that picture and inclined completely towards him spiritually and naturally. When he owned her completely, and as he knows how the causes affect her concerning her physical nature, he gave her a sign by which she knew him, and he revealed himself to her through this sign and all the causes, enabling her to recognize him. As she recognized him, she loved the causes for his sake, not for her sake, and not for the sake of the causes themselves. She became completely his and no longer belonged to her own nature, nor to any cause, but completely his, looking at him in everything. This soul became happy and rejoiced and saw how he favored her among other souls by this truth. He then reveals his epiphany to her within her original nature and her spirituality through a sign. And she sees that she has not been seeing him by herself, but by him, and that she has not loved him by herself, but by him. He is the one who loves himself, and she is not the one who loved him. And she looks at him within every existing being through the eyes within her essence, and she knows that nothing is loved but him. He is the lover and the beloved, and he is the seeker and the sought. For the soul that reached these realizations, it became clear to her that her love for him is for him and for herself. For she did not see him in this level out of her love for him, but it was by him and not by her, and even not even by the sum of the whole creation. Her non-existence was fully realized, but she wanted to know the estimation of this love and its ultimate goal, So she stopped with his saying, I was a hidden treasure that loved to be known. Since she knew him through his epiphany to her, within her proportionate natural picture, from this picture she knew that he deserved the names, the manifest, and the hidden. She then knew that the love by which he loved to be known was within the concealed, which is related to him. She also knew that if the lover manifests through the picture, then he must have breathed, because in the breath is the ecstasy of the one sought. This breath came out of the original love within the creatures, through which he made himself known to them, in order for them to recognize him. If we say that there is a beginning to divine love, then its beginning is the divine breath that results from seeing the beloved, or the divine release of the beloved's vision. This is the beginning of his love for us. Our love for him begins with mystical audition and not with vision. Through his speech, be, while we were still in a heavy cloud, amma, amma. The Arabic word amma means a thin cloud surrounded by air. The Prophet, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, informed us about this cloud, saying that it was different from any cloud that has ever been heard or seen. He negated the air surrounding it. Where was our Lord Rab before he created creation? He was in a cloud, Amah, without air above it and without air below it. And he created his throne upon the water. So he created Adam from dust, Quran 3:59. The children of Adam from a sperm drop, Quran 16:14. Which is vile water, Quran 32:8. Then he made the sperm drop a clot, 23:14. The cloud is the breath of the real through which creation occurs, and the root from which the forms of the universe become manifest. So the cloud comes out of his breath, and the pictures expressed in the universe are from the word be. And when we heard his words, where we remained in the very essence of the cloud, we could not stop ourselves from coming into existence. We were pictures in the very essence of the cloud, and we gave the cloud existence by our manifestation in the cloud. Before there was existence, and then this existence became visible, and this was the cause of our love for him. Our ultimate goal in loving him is to know the reality of our love. Is it a quality of the self of the lover, or is it an immortal quality within the lover? Or is there a proportion between the lover and the beloved? And what is the connection that attracts the lover to seek connection with the beloved? We say love is a quality of the lover's self. Then if it is said, but we see that love vanishes, we say it's impossible to vanish unless the lover vanishes from existence. But the lover never vanishes, so love never vanishes. What is easy to understand is that the lover's attachment to a particular beloved may vanish, and the lover may become attached to another beloved. This attachment to a particular beloved may vanish, but love is eternal in itself, and it's the very essence of the lover. And so it's impossible that love vanishes. Love is the breath of the lover and his very essence, and not a quality or a meaning within him that can be removed from him. Relationship is then the proportion between the lover and the beloved. And love is the essence and vision of the lover and nothing else. And so anything accidental can be described as love. Love is no other than the divine self, Atat, and the vision of the lover. This is why there is nothing in existence except a lover and a beloved. That which is beloved is characterized by non-existence that comes into being within an existent being. The relationship of the lover is with the existent being that accepted the existence of what is beloved within its contingent existence. But sometimes that which is beloved cannot be described by coming into existence, but is described as accidental. As in the case of a human being who loves to break a relationship with another existing being because of the harm that is done to his rights. This is like when pain exists within someone and must be removed. The removing of the pain means that it vanishes. It vanishes and becomes non-existent after it has existed. This is why we describe the love in this case as accidental. But that which is the beloved is always non-existence, ma'atum, and so loving the existent is not possible. Love is possible only through relationship because the soul cannot become attached except to an existing being to which the existence of the beloved manifests. Know that divine love is from his name, the beautiful Al-Jamal, and his name, the light, An-Nur. When divine light moves forward to the eyes of contingent beings, it removes the darkness from the vision of itself and its possibilities and attains a vision which is his vision, because there is no vision but by him. He reveals himself to these eyes with the name the beautiful. And so the lover is affected by passionate longing for him. And he becomes the essence of that contingent beloved. Manifesting him and concealing the essence, so that the lover's soul is annihilated in love and becomes absent from himself, not knowing that he is actually loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, he is annihilated in the state of love. He is unaware that he himself is a manifestation of him. The soul also finds itself loving itself, for it is the innate nature within every creature to love itself. There is no manifested other but him within the essence of every contingent being, and none loved but Allah who loves himself. The worshipping slave should not be described as a lover because he really has no role in it. Whatever he loves of himself manifests within him from him, and so he is the manifest. In reality, the soul loves him and is seeking him and loves to love him as she looks at herself with his eyes. Her love is to love him with his eyes. And this is why divine light is described with rays, meaning that the essence of the contingent is from the real of a haq. And the soul looks at love with his eyes to be established as a manifestation of him, and possesses the divine love. This love leads to the ultimate reality of becoming non-existence to herself. The sign of divine love is loving all creatures in every presence, the eternal, the imagined, and the sensual. Within each lover, he does not love but himself. And this is why the real described himself as loving the manifest. The outer appearances are non-existent, but because of their attachment to love, they appear, and he is the one who is manifest through them. This proportion between the manifest and the outer appearance is love, and is the attachment of love. because outer appearances are non-existence. Attachment to love is what subsides, and what subsides has already happened, and so there is no end to it. As he says, I have proportioned it, that is the human body, and breathed into it from my spirit. Quran 15:29. Brings us to page 131, and the end of this reading. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.